So let's turn in our Bibles tonight to one verse. We looked at several verses this morning. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. This may be a verse of Scripture that you've memorized. You might even have it printed and framed, hanging somewhere in your house. Great passage of Scripture. Isaiah 26, verse 3. If it's not one that you've memorized, it's one you ought to memorize. And tonight I hope to be able to expound this passage of Scripture to a degree that the intricacies of what's contained in here will be a help to you and a reminder to you at times when you are sensing distress and trouble, problems around, to rely on what you see here. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, essentially, there are three parts to this verse of Scripture, and it would help us to be able to understand those three parts and how those three parts can be applied in our lives, because we want perfect peace. No doubt about it. And so the first part of this verse that we want to get is the objective, the perfect peace. That's the objective, the perfect peace. It's for God to keep you in perfect peace. Now, this is not just peace. He didn't say that will keep him in peace. This is perfect peace. And you know in the Bible, when the word perfect is used, it is that kind of peace that is perfect for the need and perfect for the occasion and suitably fitting, all right, in its application. Perfect peace. When Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples in John chapter 14, you read through your Bible, if you have a red letter edition, it may help you to realize John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. Continuous conversation of the Lord Jesus Christ giving instruction to his disciples. 17, prayer to his Father. 18, Garden of Gethsemane. Boom, arrest. 19, crucifixion. Right? What he said in John chapter 14, he said the day before his crucifixion, within hours of the end of his life. He said to them in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Wait a minute. He is getting ready to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, be overwhelmed with so much sorrow that he lays down to pray. His disciples are going to fall asleep during the prayer meeting, and he is going to be so burdened in prayer that he will sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then he's going to be arrested. And Judas Iscariot, who had been given all the other gifts that all the other disciples had gotten and had traveled with him for the entirety of his earthly ministry, is the guy leading the pack of people that are going to, you know, going to arrest him. And shortly after that, he knows, because he warns Peter, Peter's going to deny him, and all the disciples are going to scatter. And this is within hours of that. And he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." How does a man have peace at a time like that? You say, well, he's Jesus, he's God manifest in the flesh. If he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, if he's prostrate on the ground, weighed down with so much sorrow, the human side of him, no doubt, is overwhelmed by what he's getting ready to experience. And he says, "I have some peace to leave with you." That's pretty good peace. That's really good peace. In John chapter 20, literally the same day of his resurrection, He shows up eventually later in the day, right, to his disciples. And he says to them, peace be unto you. Wait a minute. Before his crucifixion and after his resurrection, literally within hours of both, he has the same peace. The peace that he had before the crucifixion is the peace that he had after his resurrection. The peace that he had after his resurrection is the same peace that he had before his crucifixion. The circumstances of life did not compel one to be great and the other to be minimal. Do you understand? There was no degree to this. You would expect after his resurrection, like, yeah, man, you want some peace, man. I got some peace. And before his crucifixion, well, I'll give you some peace. Is what I got left of it. But it wasn't like that. The circumstances of his life did not change the peace that he had. Why? It's perfect peace. Suitable for any situation, a resurrection or a crucifixion. It's not volatile. It's not like emotions. It doesn't come in waves. It's perfect peace. Completely unaffected by the circumstances and situations of life. He had as much peace right before his crucifixion as he did after his resurrection. That's some pretty good peace. You know, and we're not like that. You know, we're not like that. We have all experienced, because of the fruit of the Spirit, some level of peace in our lives. But we have also known there have been other times when we've been calmer, if you will, than other times. There seems to be some vacillation in the level of peace that we enjoy. When it's perfect peace, that's not the case. It's consistent. It's not down in Jesus' life because he's going to be crucified. It's not up because he's been resurrected. It's just constant, perfect. Now, that's the kind of peace I'd like to have. And you know, people talk about and you read about and you pray about things going on in life that seem to be getting worse with time. Okay, my eyes are open. I see what you see. That should not cause us to fret. That should not cause us to be troubled. These disciples were getting ready to lose the man that they had followed, and they're not even aware that after his resurrection, in just a few days after that, he's gone. And they got it all to themselves to run. And they're going to suffer persecution. He told them they would. And they're going to experience trouble. And they're going to be threats on their lives. And some of them are going to be martyred. And they're supposed to go all through that. And he said, I'm going to give you that peace. So that's good. It's a perfect peace. And not only that, but it is a secure peace. Because he said, thou will, what's the next word? Thou will, what's the next word? Keep him. Keep him in perfect peace. It's secure. This is not temporary. It's something that he intends for you to have and have as much tonight as you will in the morning and as much in the morning as you will tonight and as much tomorrow evening. Keep him in perfect peace. It's not temporary. This is not something like people feel after meditation. You know, there are a lot of people that meditate today. And they do that to come into a state of calm, to come into a state of what they sense is peace. But you know what they have to do tomorrow morning? More meditation. You know, after breakfast, they may have to go back and have more meditation. You know, they have to go back and get this state that they're looking for each time that they go through something, which is pretty much every day. It's not something like people feel after meditation. It's not medicinal. Sometimes some of you may have been on some sort of a medication to deal with emotions, to deal with anxiety, to deal with depression, to deal with pain. And you know, after taking the prescribed amount at the right time, you're kind of like, you know, I'm not as worried about things as I was. I'm not feeling as depressed. And let me say something to you. Those things can be very beneficial. There are times when people need that for pain, or there is a chemical thing going on where that's the right prescription along with the other things of the Lord. So I'm not suggesting by what I'm saying that you can get this done and you'll never need medication for medical needs, okay? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this is not medicinal. In other words, in order to feel what you feel with a relief of depression or anxiety or pain, you have to take another pill at some point. Okay? But not this. I mean, it's not like you don't have something to do in this. We'll see it in a minute. But this is secure. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. See? It's not like I'm going to give you a dose of it and then we'll see about it tomorrow. Right? It's like I'm going to, if you get to perfect peace, I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. It's not like an emotion. As I've mentioned, emotions, and we all know this, go in waves. And it's like rose petals. I love you, I love you not. I love you, I love you not. You know, today you're my friend, tomorrow you're my enemy, and I'll see about the next day. You know, all that. And there are plenty of things going on in the world to keep your emotions moving, unsteady. But this is not like an emotion which could fail you at a time when you need it. It's not like an endorphin. Some of you know what I'm talking about endorphins. Sometime in your real distant past, you did a little exercise and felt good about that. Maybe even yesterday, but maybe a long time ago. And you got like, man, I used to do that, and man, that I really felt good at it. It's not like that. It's perfect peace, and the reason that it's not up and down like emotions or needing another dose like a meditation or a medicine or like an endorphin is that it's spiritual. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. It's perfect peace because it's spiritual. It ministers to the spirit of you. Not your physical. Your physical body will respond to the peace that is provided to your spirit by this. Okay? You'll settle down. But the peace that you get is secure because it's spiritual. It's perfect because it's not volatile. And not only that, but it's divine peace. Thou. I like the verse. It starts with the main theme, thou. It turns our attention to God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. This is a peace that God has to keep in you. In other words, it's not something that you work up. It's something he provides. It's up to him to keep you in that perfect peace. It's God's responsibility then. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. That's it. That's on him. You know, if you're like, for instance, I'm once again so thankful to y'all for praying for Ann's recovery. She's here tonight. I'm thankful to you for a card, a call, a text. Thankful to you for coming and staying at our house, for cooking something. Some really good stuff. Really good. And you know, Christine, who lives in Dallas, but flew down and spent 13 days with us. All the administration of the medications, the changing out of the ice, the driving to the physical therapist, to the doctor appointment, that was all on her. I didn't have to do any of it. She took that on as her responsibility. The thing I'm saying is, I never had to think about it. It never crossed my mind. At 2:30 in the morning when there was time to get some more food out of the refrigerator and take another pill, I didn't have to. I slept through all that. Wow, that's a luxury, man. I'm telling you, if any of you are going to have to go through in your family a knee replacement, you make sure to get somebody to go stay at your house. Okay, so I'm just using that illustration to say when it comes to thou will keep him in perfect peace, that's not on you. That's on him. He takes that as his responsibility. You don't have to worry about that. He said, I'm going to do that for you. And you don't have to fret over that. You don't have to worry about that. You know what it's like? It's like the promise of eternal security. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that, listen, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. All right, if he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day in your eternal security, he's able to do this too. Do you understand that? That's on him. You're reading something in Isaiah's writing and said, don't worry about this. You need some perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. It's secure. It's perfect. It's divine. It's not like anything else you can work up here in the earth in any other capacity. Okay? So that's something here that's very, very special. And for us who know the Lord as our Savior, this is ours to have. This is recorded. You know, they say not everything that's written in the Bible is to us, but it's all for us. Well, you can take this one home with you tonight. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. I like that. I need that. Now. And later on and tomorrow as well. Perfect peace, secure peace, divine peace. That's the first part. That's the first part. It's the first part. The first part is the objective. Does anybody here tonight want that? Perfect peace? Yeah, okay. You know, as long as we're dealing with something we want, you know, then it's good to go on. All right, here's the second part. The second part is the condition. The first part is the objective. You want some perfect peace? Okay, there it is. All right, now here's the condition. It's at the end of the verse, because he trusteth in thee. The condition for God to keep you in perfect peace is for you got to trust him. That's your part. His part is to keep you in perfect peace. Your part is to trust him. That's the condition. This is not just believing what he said. Now I understand faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't see it in writing here, it's kind of hard to know that you can trust him about those things. We call ourselves Bible Believers Baptist Church. And I know from talking to you, I know from your time here, you believe the book. You believe the book. But sometimes, even though you believe the book, you don't have the perfect peace. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, what's up with that? Because the second condition, the second part, which is the condition, because he trusteth in thee, this is not just believing what he said, it's believing the one who said it. You have to trust him. You know, we sing a song, Standing on the Promises. You can stand on those, but the promises are good because of the person who made the promise. Haven't you had people make a promise to you they didn't keep? All right, well, he's not going to do that to you. You can trust him. When you put your trust in God, when you put your trust in the Lord, your trust is in the most trustworthy person in the entire universe. There's nobody that is more worthy of your trust than he is. I remember years ago when somebody was talking about building trust in relationships between husbands and wives when that trust has been jeopardized by misconduct or some bad statement or even some immorality. And he said, you know what, you got to learn to trust your husband, or you got to learn to trust your wife. And the truth of the matter is we find out that we're not always trustworthy. But you can trust God. And when you trust him, he can do things that your trust in another person can't do. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, right? Okay. When you pray and the Lord assures you that he's going to take care of something that you've asked for, he's going to take care of it. Now, I don't know your prayer life. I know mine. But at some way, somehow, when you're praying for something, there is a way that God gives you assurance that he's heard you and he's going to do something about what you ask him. I mean, you'll hear people say, God said, or God impressed upon my heart that, or whatever. I don't know how you and God have your personal relationship where you're praying and there's this thing that lets you know that it's going to be all right. Some of it is just the peace that passeth understanding, you know, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And that peace comes in, you're like, whew, God's going to take care of this. So however he does that, the funny thing about us sometimes is we pray and we get that assurance from the Lord that he has heard us. He says, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You get there and you find the grace, and somehow or another you wake up in the morning and you're all worried about it again. That's where I'm going with this. And why are you doing that? If you've gotten the grace you went to the throne of grace to get, or the mercy that you went to get, or the peace that now passeth all understanding that's keeping your heart and your mind, what are you worried about tomorrow for? You know what that is? That's a peace that's insufficient. And part of the reason is you're not trusting the person you've been talking to. He said, I can give you, I will keep you, not only give you, I will keep you in perfect peace, but you got to trust me. You got to trust me. I mean, if you have the assurance that the Lord has heard you and he's going to answer this prayer, you don't have to pester him like a little child. You know, when you read in the Bible, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the example is somebody that keeps asking for the bread till they get it, right? Or you hear pray without ceasing. You know, sometimes, man, we can like get carried away like a kid. Kind of like this. Hop, let's play Old Maid. Okay, I'll get there in just a sec. Hop, let's play Old Maid. Let me finish what I'm doing here. Hop, yeah, let's play Old Maid. Hop, let's play Old Maid. You want to play Old Maid? Hop, hop, let's play Old Maid. It's like... Isn't that how kids do it? Isn't that how y'all do it? They're back there smiling. Yeah, that's how, and you know, that's how we do it. God, take care of this. Come on, God, you're going to take care. Come on, God, come in to take care of it. God, take care of this. Where's the perfect peace? Once you've had the assurance, and he says, and however he says that to you, I'm going to take care of this for you. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. He's going to handle it. Why? Because he's trustworthy. Let me ask you something. Has God ever let you down? I'm seeing no nods. I'm seeing the head shake. I'm looking for a nod. I don't see God ever let you down. No. And he hasn't ever let me down. Have we been through some difficult circumstances? Yes. Refer to this morning's sermon. But has he ever let you down? No, absolutely trustworthy. Listen, not only is God going to handle it, but he's going to handle it the very best way. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, if you're called to trust him and you trust him, you can be sure that when he puts that thing he's doing in your life together with everything else he's doing in your life, it's going to be good, and you will have no reason to fuss with God about the outcome. He's trustworthy. Doesn't the Bible say, trust in the Lord with all your heart? But come on, be honest now with God. You don't have to be honest with me here, but as we're preaching this and we're searching the Scripture, you be honest with God. Haven't there been times when you've called upon God to do something, and you're praying that he will, and you're seeking that perfect peace, but you not all your heart is in the trust because of the fretting, because of the worry, because of the concern, because maybe he won't. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, He said, don't even lean that way. Don't even start going that way. Because as soon as you start leaning to your own understanding, you are challenging the trust that you believe you have in Him with all your heart. If all your heart is trusting Him, there's no part of your heart that can lean to your own understanding. There's no part of you that cannot acknowledge Him. I mean, peace is what you want through any situation you're handling. We prayed tonight about the outcome of this situation with the, right? Do you know how it's going to turn out? I have no idea. But it's very serious. And the prognosis would be more likely it's not going to turn out well. So what do we pray for? God heal him. You know his wife wants that. You know his children want that. What does God want? I don't know. But don't you know the people that are involved now in that situation? Family, you know, parents, close friends, associates, children, spouse. They could do real well if they had a big dose of perfect peace right now, couldn't they? And a whole lot of trust in God to see this through in a way when it's all said and done, people could say, He doeth all things well. We need perfect peace. And you get that when you trust Him. You trust God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That's the condition. That's the condition. Peace is what you want through any situation you're handling. You can get through anything if you have perfect peace. Jesus Christ got through the crucifixion, perfect peace. The disciples got through the experiences they all had after he left, peace. He gave it to them. All right, so the first part is the objective. I want some perfect peace. Second part is the condition. I got to trust him. The third part is the method. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Here's the method. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, the Lord is going to handle his end. You know that. Because when God makes a promise, God doesn't lie. You know that. He's trustworthy and he's going to keep you in perfect peace. But when you trust him, let me ask you a question before I finish that statement. There's not a person here that would raise their hand in answer to this question. Is there anybody here tonight that does not trust God? You wouldn't raise your hand. Right? Because you trust him. Then why is it sometimes we don't have perfect peace? You trust him. You know that he will do what he said he would do. But your mind is not stayed on him. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because you go in here, you're like that, and you're praying, oh God, whatever, you know, and you, the peace is there. And he said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Just trust me. And you get up, and you start thinking again, how am I going to pay that bill? What are we going to do about this hospital situation? What am I going to do about this circumstance? And all of a sudden, the mind gets pulled off of the peace and the trust. When you trust him, your mind must be stayed on him. And everybody here can attest, that can be hard. That can be hard. You know, the Lord has to be in all your thoughts. Your mind must be stayed. You know something, you've been coming here, many of you, since the day that we moved into this building. And you know something? That column that you see right there has been there the whole time. You know what? It stayed right there. Hadn't moved. Nor has that one, nor has that thing that's up there on top. Right there where they were when they got put up there. Still there. Stayed. You have a dog that you're training, right? You put the food bowl down, you're doing the training, you look at the dog like that, and you say, stay. Well, if the dog is really obedient, and if the dog is really, I mean, sometimes it's your training, sometimes it's the dog's disobedience, you get the whole thing working right, you leave the room, come back 30 minutes later, the dog's still there, and not a bite has been taken out of that bowl. What'd that dog do? He stayed. And the Lord said, your mind needs to be stayed on me. Right? It has to be in your thoughts. Your mind has to stay. You can't be distracted by anything or by anyone. Get your mind off of it. Like, so here's a person going through a very difficult situation. They've got trust in the Lord. Mind is stayed on the Lord. Walking in peace. You call. How's things going with that situation? Well, not so good. Well, what's wrong? Well, this, that, and the other thing. And then that person and this guy cheated that. Next thing you know, mind's not on the Lord. It's almost like I wish you hadn't made the call. I had this thing wired. It was going well. But now that I'm telling you everything, and then your reply or my reply is, that's horrible. You ought to sue them. Well, now it's really skidding out of control. I mean, that's how we are. There are times when you and I are exposed to somebody else's trouble or our own, and we're thinking, somehow or another, I got to bring this thing to a good conclusion. I need to call somebody or sue somebody or kill somebody. Well, maybe not that far, but... And what happens is the mind doesn't get locked on him, right? Or maybe what you're praying about is something that you desperately want, like a husband. I'm not looking in any particular direction here. I thought I heard laughter over here in this part of the room. And what happens is the expectation starts causing you to think about, oh my goodness, I'm already in my 20s, like one or two. The time and window may pass. And I'll be a spinster. You don't even know what that is. But it doesn't sound good. And all of a sudden your mind has not stayed on him. It stayed on... You see where we're going with this? It doesn't always have to be something bad. It may be something that you desperately want. But what happens is you start thinking about what you want from him or what you want him to do, and your mind's not stayed on him. And it gets off track. And guess what? He can't keep you in perfect peace when your mind's not stayed on him. You trust him. I know you trust him. But your mind's not stayed on him. He's over there going, I've got the perfect peace. I'm keeping it right here for you. But you got your mind over here. If you put your mind, see, it's like that. I've got it right here. There's the perfect peace. I will keep you in perfect peace, but you're looking over there. You need to look over here. Get your mind on me. There's the peace. As soon as you look over there and you're distracted, you start wanting something that I'm not ready to give you, or you're worried about me getting something done I'm not ready to do. You're fretting. You're worried. It's not working. Get your mind back over here. You got to think about him. Your mind has to be locked on him. You can't let your mind wander off on a temptation or a lust. Or a desire, or an opinion, or a fear. There's Peter. We talked about him this morning. He's walked out of the boat. He's on the water. He's looking at Jesus. He's responded to what Jesus said, come. But as soon as he looks at the boisterous wind, he saw the wind boisterous. Now he starts to fall. Can't stay in that perfect peace if your mind's not stayed on him. You can't let a frustration or impatience or worry or expectation or anger or anything like that interfere or else the peace will be diminished. Right? Keep your mind on Him. I noticed, we're getting far enough removed from the days of COVID, thank God, that we're probably not going to use that as an illustration much longer, but I'll take one more stab at it. When that started, there was a lot of fear. And the news played on that and exacerbated the fear and played on that politically and exacerbated the anger. And the two prevalent emotions during that, if you can remember that far back, were anger and fear. Right? All right, so when all that's going on, real hard to be in perfect peace when you're ticked off all the time or scared to death. So what do? Turn off the news. Right? Quit looking at that. I wonder how many people died today. Quit looking at that. Get your mind on Him. Right here. And you know what? As each of us began to turn our mind back to the Lord and quit worrying about fanning the flames and who got vaxxed and who didn't get vaxxed and what churches are splitting over the stand they took on all that and blah, 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 and just got your mind back on the Lord, got back in the race, got back in the book, guess what? Peace. You were sleeping better. You were feeling better. You were better. But you had to get your mind on Him. Keep your mind on the Lord alone. Stay locked on Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So what's the objective? Perfect peace from Him. Do you want that? Perfect peace from Him. What's the condition? Trust in Him. What's the method? Keep your mind stayed on Him. You see, it's all about Him. When it's all about you, it doesn't work well. Anybody have a testimony about that? When our mind gets on us, it doesn't work well. When our mind's on Him, it works really well. What's the objective? Perfect peace from Him. What's the condition? Trust in Him. What's the method? Mind stayed on Him. You get those three going? That verse of Scripture will be so real in your life. Anytime you find that you're a little bit off kilter, a little bit keeled over, boom, that thing will come back to your mind, reminded to you by the Holy Spirit. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And you remember, ups, that's the deal right there. Got my mind on something else and I should have kept it on him. Right back in line. He'll be there for you. He keeps perfect peace for you. That you can count on. Amen? Father, we're very thankful tonight. I believe we've received an instruction for some of us tonight that will help us right now. We need this. And some of us, we just need to bank this one, memorize the verse, remember the condition and the objective and the method and be ready to go right to it. Lord, I'm so thankful that many, many, many of us tonight are not facing any trouble that requires us to be challenged. This, we're not in a storm of life right now, but Father, we've been instructed in some things that have been very helpful to us, and I pray we'll be good stewards of what we've been given so we will know to use these things. Particularly in this perfect peace is something we all want and want all the time, and we now know what's in you. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.